Good morning. As Amy said, it's Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and then covered up. Then in his joy, he goes out and sells all that he has and buys that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of the fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it.
Good morning. I have turned on this device and it appears to be working. Step one, success. All right. So I brought up a stopwatch because there's like an ongoing thing about how all of us take forever to do everything. And so I thought I would time myself so that I too take forever to do everything. That way you fit in. You understand how that works? The other thing that rattled me was as I was setting the stopwatch up here, the bishop texted me and I thought, do I read this now or do I read it after? Because what if it says, I didn't know you were preaching. Who let this happen? Where is Stephen? Well, both Stephen and Rob are on holidays. So you guys can tell him about it later. This parable has been like a great privilege for me, and probably less so for my wife and kids, because I spent all week trying to prepare a sermon and then got here Saturday morning and realized that everything that I prepared was not really in the text. And spent all day yesterday, like all day and the night, stressing over it. But it was a good stress because in my heart, I think, oh, I'm emotional. The most important thing in the world is that we meet with the living God. Amen? And I'm aware, like every Sunday, whether I'm standing up there on a microphone, like when we sing the songs, like our deepest heart conviction, everything that we do here is that you might in some small way actually interact with God himself. Amen? So let's take 1 minute here and let's ready our hearts again. So Father, we thank you, thank you, thank you that you are real, that you are here, and that you actually want to speak to us, that you have provided your holy word that we may know you and be known by you. And so, God, I ask right now that your Holy Spirit would just come and fill me, that I would not give my words, but I would give yours. And I pray that we all would want to hear them, that God, you would anoint us to hear what you're saying, and not even our own thoughts. And it's in Christ's name we pray this. Amen. So the parable is about the kingdom of heaven. And if you haven't had a definition to work with, the kingdom of heaven is the sovereign rule and reign of God over all things. Amen? So the kingdom of heaven is the uninhibited, unstopping, perfect will of God over everything. And it is not hard to imagine the value of that. That it is unrestricted. And so that's why we pray for the kingdom of heaven. And so these two particular parables in Matthew 13, they work together. And the purpose of the parables is for Jesus to give a grid to the people that he's speaking to about what it would be like if you came upon it. If you were to find yourself finding the kingdom of God, his actual rule and reign, not inhibited. So that's what these parables are about. So he tells two of them. One of them is about a hidden treasure, and one is about the pearl. So we'll just read it again. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, When a man found it, he hid it again. Then in his joy, he sold all he had and bought the field. And again, the kingdom is like a merchant who's looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had to buy it. So you've got two stories, and they vary a little bit. And one of the variances that I noticed right away was that it doesn't really say that the first guy is necessarily looking for treasure. But the second guy, it says that he's a merchant who is looking for treasure. Okay? And it says that in both instances, when they find it, they are blown away at the value of the treasure. Right? We can agree on that? That anything that you find, that the response is that in his joy, he went and sold not some, all of what he had to get this. They're completely changed at the awareness of the value of the treasure that is found. It's the response of these two men that is the focus of this parable. But that response can actually be a bit tricky to figure out, because in both cases, when it says that they sold all that they had to buy the field, you realize something, and then you suddenly remember Jordan Duncan's teach, right? Wasn't that amazing? Also, you led amazingly today. Great job. But in Jordan's teach, he talked about how parabolic language is about focus. It's about getting a message. It's a rapt message. You guys remember that? Okay, so that there was like three kinds of people. There's people that are walking toward God. There are people that are on the fence about God. And then there are people that are walking away. So the idea of a parable was that the message is not implicitly understandable. There's some work that needs to be done. And so when I read that they went and sold and bought the field, my mind immediately went to, wait a minute, are you saying we can buy the kingdom of heaven? Have any of you ever thought that when you're reading the scripture, like, hold on a minute, this might be suggesting that the kingdom of heaven can be bought. And so some of the work that we have to do whenever we're reading the scriptures is when you get an idea in your head, you actually have to test that idea with the rest of scripture. Amen? Right? So I went and did some work, and I realized, okay, so Luke 12:32 says it's the Father's delight to give the kingdom to little children. Matthew 5:3 said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. And Mark 10:15 talks about how we need to be like a child to enter into the kingdom. So all of these other things are saying about the kingdom that it's actually God who gives it. So that's not the focus. So then what is the focus? The focus is about the response of the value. It's about when you actually come in contact with the kingdom of God, like truly do it, you will find it joyful, the very idea of losing everything that you had previously. So let that sink in for a minute. That Jesus is saying, what I'm trying to say to you guys is, if you ever actually come upon the fullness of the kingdom of God, everything that you knew previously will be worthless to you. In fact, the very thought of losing it, including your life, so your possessions, everything, that you actually will gain in the transaction. You'll actually come out on top. Okay? So our temptation is to think that this parable is about the cost. But Jesus is saying, hold on a minute. If you actually saw it for what it is an invitation to a joy that you couldn't even fathom. Does that feel like that could be good news? If you're confused, that's okay, because so was I. But God is beckoning us to search for the kingdom like treasure, and to have the invitation in our heads that the minute you see it, if you had lost everything that you knew previously, you would actually be joyful about it. So I saw the two guys. I'm like, okay, so the one is this idea of somebody who's maybe just out walking and kind of finds something in the ground and kind of reaches under, and it's a treasure chest. So that's the first idea. And in the ancient world, it wasn't really a foreign idea because there wasn't banks. So if people had precious metal or coins or something like that, it actually would have been customary that the safest thing that you could do is bury it somewhere that only you know where it is. So that's the idea in the first parable, is that there's someone out for some reason and they come upon something of infinite worth. And so I began to ask the Lord about my own personal story. What was it like when I first experienced the kingdom of heaven? And so I want to tell you guys a bit of my story. I grew up on a farm 2 miles west of Shaughnessy, if none of you know this area that way. And we grew up and we were pig farmers, which isn't joyful, like in any way. It is a mountain of work for zero pay. So I actually watched my parents from my youth work as hard as they possibly could to get nothing. And watched even my family and others around me that were farming work as hard as they could and gain a lot. Like, there was a lot of very wealthy farmers in the area. And so there's this little bit writing on what I believe about life. And I didn't know the Lord. And so I watched them struggle and fight. And then I would struggle and fight. And I went to school. And there is nothing that'll make you more popular than smelling like a pig farm and being thin and not having money. And so my experience of life was, I mean, culturally difficult. For me, it was difficult. And as life progressed, my dad got really sick. He ended up getting cancer. But that happened kind of in the formative years of my life. When I really needed mom and dad, and this, there's no blame in this, okay? So hear me on this. But when I needed them a lot, they couldn't be there. Because suddenly their emotional energy, their intellectual energy, their physical energy was on, dad is sick and the farm is going under. Okay? And so I'm still me. So I have needs. I have emotional needs. I have intellectual needs. I have physical needs. And they are just, in my own mind, they're going unmet. And as life continues, I realize that I am having a deep anxiety build in me around life itself. Two major questions are forming in me that I don't know what I'm doing, and no one is going to show me. Does anyone resonate with that? That you are progressing in life and it keeps happening, and I don't know how to measure it. So I don't know what I'm doing. No one has ever taught me how to get a job and make friends and build relationships. And no one's going to show me. So what's building in me is an anxiety that life is going to keep coming and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to manage it. And I'm going to screw it up. And so, like everyone does in their life, through different experiences, you come to the conclusion that now I am the functional lord of my existence. Do you know what I mean by that? It's up to me to figure out how this works. It's up to me to figure out what is good and what is evil, what is right and what is wrong, and I am ill-equipped to do so. But you can't just stop. And so I carry on in my teenage years as the lord of my own existence. And some of you will realize that, you know what, sometimes you make a few good decisions, and sometimes you make some bad ones. Amen? Right? You don't have to have a perfect Christian upbringing to make good decisions, right? You can actually stumble upon them. Right? And so you can learn some things about relationships, and you can learn some things about life, and you may have stumbled upon how Christ made life, but you stumbled on it. And I was aware of it, so I had an anxiety that was brewing of, how am I ever going to know if I am doing it right? So this is my existence as a teenager, until suddenly, like a man out for a walk in the field, I picture myself, I'm hoping life is working out, and some of it's been awful and some of it's been good, and I'm at its mercy, and I'm out for a walk just to kind of catch my head, when suddenly my foot catches something. And in my experience, that was suddenly I start bumping into Christians. Not looking for them. Believe me. But I keep bumping into them. And they go, have you ever heard of Jesus? And I go, yeah, that's that swear you say when you miss that swing in the golf course, you know? You bet I've heard of him. Right? But that's my only thing. But then God in his mercy keeps throwing Christians in my path. And they go, do you know that there's a God that made everything and he knows how it all works? And my response is emotional. No one knows how it works, man. Like, no one can know how it works. This is my experience. But these guys just keep, you know, there's a God out there who made everything and knows how everything works. And they're full of something I don't have, which is what? Peace. And the journey goes on and they say, do you know that every bad thing that ever happened in your life is actually the result of sin? It's not something you can't figure out. It's something you can figure out. God will tell you what happened. And as I progressed in the journey, I began to be interested because there was something that was happening in my heart where it's like, wait a minute, there are answers. Like, suddenly I don't know what I'm doing was replaced with this other idea that, but someone does. And my deep need for a father was beginning to happen. And so my word for you today is that there is a God. And he knows everything. And everything in this book, this is not popular today to say this. Every experience you ever have is spoken about in here. That this book is still daily explaining to me what's happening. Amen? Does anyone believe that today? So here's my challenge to you. Rob did this last week, so I'm gonna ask you. Take out your phone in whatever way you want to do it, but I challenge you to get in some sort of accountability with somebody or yourself and schedule when you're going to read this thing. Like, make a commitment. Because, now this ain't an insult. You're a terrible lord of your life. Okay? And if you're insulted, the evidence is against you. Okay? You may be batting better than somebody else, but you're not going to hit them all out. And I promise you this, he will. And the ones, like this book even gave me a grid for suffering. It helped me understand that people get sick. And that he's not the enemy. Sin is. So as I was out for a walk in the field, I realized that I was that guy out there trying to be the Lord of my life, and I kicked over a box, and in it was the perfect rule and reign of God. And I saw it for the first time. that there was somebody out there who has the authority, the wisdom, the ability to rule. And I looked back at every bit of my previous experience in life, even the good ones, and I went, in comparison to him in control of all of this, every bit of it would go for me. Does that make sense? In comparison of the idea of me trying to figure it out and maybe batting 3 out of 10, the possibility that God is the perfect Lord and can handle all of it, including the bad and the mystery, made all of my previous experience garbage. And then I realized, now I'm starting to understand this parable, because in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says the exact same thing. He says, whatever gain I had, meaning whatever experience that I've had in my life, the good ones, the bad ones, and he's a religious dude, so he's the other guy. He's the guy that was actually searching. He's like, I'm actually looking for God. Okay? And his conclusion was this: whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything. What thing? Everything. As loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Your entire life is about encounter with the living God. And not just encounter, experience and submission to him. And I promise you, that anxiety will go away if you keep at it. If you continually come back to him and let him be the Lord, and you can be a daughter or a son, that you can say, Dad, I need you to take control of this because I've been trying to figure it out and I can't. That's the purpose of this parable. So in the case of the Apostle Paul, he had religion. He grew up in the church. He was looking for God, but then one day on a road to Emmaus, he met him. And the him didn't match his previous experience. It surpassed it. Amen? That his intentions were good. I want to live for God. Okay? But when he met him, I just picture Jesus going, Paul, I love you. Stop working. You're kicking against me. And his idea of God was not God. And so I can tell you, I met him. Like, I found that treasure. But I want to say something in our application time before we go to the table. I'm only at 22 minutes. I can tell, it's right here. So in our application, this is what I want us to think about. Question number one. This could be a scary question if it wasn't for what he said about it. Question number one is, have I ever, I mean ever really, experience the kingdom of God that way? Like, I mean, have I ever had a moment where when I see him, I would dump all previous experiences? Question number two, maybe you have that. Maybe you did grow up in the church and maybe you had that experience, but as we read in the other parables, it's like the worries of life and the pleasures of this world and whatever it is, they've been choking out the value. So when you look at the treasure, it's not really shiny anymore. It's kind of like just, you buried it and hid it in a field at your house and you don't know where it is. Right? Here's our application today, okay? Do we want to get back to where God is the most incredible thing in our existence. Is that what you want for your life? Yeah? It's okay if it's not. The Lord can lead you. That's fine. In 1 John, it says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us. So if you've put that treasure on a shelf and you buried it, I have periods in my life like I am going through one right now. You ask the worship team where I'm going. Man, it hasn't felt as shiny for a while. Jesus has got, he's got something for you there. He can say, that's okay, confess it. Just be honest about it. Just say, you know what, I've let the treasure get dusty and dirty. But then turn back to him and say, Lord, wreck me again for the kingdom of God. Like, pray dangerous prayers that you're like, so much so that when I look back, I'm like, I don't even care about those previous experiences. And if you've never experienced that, today is your day. He is offering that. His mercies are new every morning. Today, if you hear the word of God, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Come to him. Today, your goal, if you've never had that experience, is that you come up to this line and you don't view it as a weird bit of gray line on a carpet. You view it as I am walking up to a treasure chest that takes the rest of my life and just, it's done from there. Because that's what this table is for. Whether you're coming back to receive this treasure again and giving God all of you again, or you never have, I promise you on the authority of Scripture, it's available to you today. So let's just pray as Jep comes up to lead us. Father, we are so incredibly grateful, so incredibly grateful that there is treasure to be found. That your goodness and mercy to us is everlasting, that your grace to us is unending. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name right now, I pray that if there's anybody in this room that has not had that experience, that today would be their day. If there's anybody in this room that has been living with an anxiety of not knowing what life is about and afraid that they may never figure it out, I pray that today you would manifest yourself as their answer. That you would be the Lord of their life, not just a religion they practice. And as we come to the table, Lord, I pray that you refresh the saints, renew the saints, that we would be a people that walks in experience of you and not just tell stories about you.